So text number 11 is on the board. I'll read text number 10 by myself. Tasya asanam anye mahindro mahad adbutam muti matya sadhich chesta hema kumbhaya jalam suchi. The king of heaven, Indra, brought a suitable sitting place for the goddess of fortune. All the rivers of sacred water, such as the Ganges and Jamuna, personified themselves, and each of them brought pure water and golden water pots for Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Text number 11, please repeat. Abhiset chanika bhumir. Abhiset chanika bhumir. Aharat sakaloshadi. Aharat sakaloshadi. Gava pancha pavitrani. Gava pancha pavitrani. Vasanto madumadavo. Santo Madhumadavo. Abhisechanika. Paraphernalia required for installing the deity. Bhumi, the land. Aharat, collected. Sakala, all kinds of. Oshadi, drugs and herbs. Gava, the cows. Pancha, five different varieties of products from the cow, namely milk, yogurt, clarified butter, cow dung, and cow urine. Pavitrani, uncontaminated. Vasanta, personified springtime. Madhumadavo, flowers and fruits produced during spring or in the months of Chaitra and Vaishakha. Translation: the land became a person and collected all the drugs and herbs needed for installing a deity. The cows delivered five products, namely milk, yogurt, ghee, urine, and cow dung, and spring personified collected everything produced in spring during the months of Chaitra and Vaishakha, April and May. Please repeat. The land became a person and collected all the drugs and herbs needed for installing the deity. The cows delivered five products, namely milk, yogurt, ghee, urine, and cow dung. And spring personified collected everything produced in spring during the months of Chaitra and Vaishakha. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Panchagavya, the five products received from the cow, namely milk, yogurt, ghee, cow dung, and cow urine, are required in all ritualistic ceremonies performed according to the Vedic directions. Cow urine and cow dung are uncontaminated, and since even the urine and dung of a cow are important, we can just imagine how important this animal is for human civilization. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, directly advocates Goraksha, the protection of cows. Civilized men who follow the system of vanashram, especially those of the Vaishya class who engage in agriculture and trade, must give protection to the cows. Unfortunately, because people in Kali Yuga are Manda, all bad, and Sumanda Mataya, misled by false conceptions of life They are killing cows in the thousands. It's actually a mistake. It should say millions. Hare Krishna. Therefore, they are unfortunate in spiritual consciousness, and nature disturbs them in so many ways, especially through incurable diseases like cancer and through frequent wars. Through frequent wars and among nations. As long as human society continues to allow cows to be regularly killed in slaughterhouses, there cannot be any question of peace and prosperity. Gora Graganya Gana Gotra Goloruharam Goranga Gudatama Gopyada Kolpa Briksham Gopala Gada Ratidam Yati Singha Gora Govinda Deshi Kavaram Satatam Namami. What Srila Prabhupada is speaking about here in the purport, the protection of cows and the importance of cows both for world peace and for a successful economy, is a very controversial subject, even in modern India today. If you look in the news practically every other day, people are criticizing the backward fanatics who want to protect cows. And they say that this cow protection is causing so many economic problems, because if people would simply kill the cows and sell their flesh and sell their hides, then India would become so much better economically. This is a modern propaganda. Please don't be misled by this. I was born and raised in America. America was discovered officially by some fellow named Christopher Columbus. And why did he come to America? Because he wanted to find a better trade route to India, because India was such a fabulously wealthy country. And in India, in those days, every house had so many cows. And even today, if you go to Bhubaneswar, where we've lived for a long time, you'll find sometimes people, they keep cows in their own house. Also, I've seen this in Jagannath Puri and many places, because people have so much piety. And we modern people, they say that India is ruining itself economically because they're trying to protect the cows. But Srila Prabhupada said this attitude is completely backwards, because the majority of people in India live in the villages. And the villagers in India don't have so much money. In the name of modernization, people are coming from the West and selling tractors and selling Monsanto seeds and different things to people in India. And the farmers are thinking, oh, I'm going to make more money by this because I'm generally a poor person. So they borrow money to purchase these seeds and to have the tractors, and then the farmers fall into debt. And in India, more than anywhere else in the world today, there's a huge problem with the farmers committing suicide because they're so much in debt. And this is because the natural system which Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam has become perverted over hundreds of years in India. And in the name of modernization, so many people now, they want to come to the city. If you study something about modern education, and that would be a whole discussion alone, which Srila Prabhupada also speaks extensively about, you'll find an interesting fact that all over the world, education is basically the same today. And people have this concept that Western education is very good, and any other kind of education is very backward. And what does Western education mean? It means a stress on economics, a stress on mathematics, some stress on computers. And if you go to the villages today, in any place in the world, in Myanmar, in Nepal, in India, and you speak to the elders And they'll tell you, oh, I'm not an educated person. I don't. But my grandson, he's going to the school, and he knows so much. But what do they learn in the school? They learn how to use cell phones. They learn how to use computers. And Western education has a carrot dangling in front of everyone. Everyone should become a lawyer or a doctor. These are the goals. Now, it doesn't take a great mathematician to figure out that we don't need everybody in the world to become a lawyer and a doctor, and most people are not going to become a lawyer and a doctor. So what happens is the people growing up in these small villages, they end up coming to the big cities like Delhi and Mumbai and other places, and they have no occupation, they have no job. The World Bank and other organizations, they're promoting this modern education, so-called modern education, to save the world, from poverty. But if you look at the statistics, world poverty has gone way, way up. And if you see in all the cities in the world today, even in the West, in New York, in San Francisco and other places, there are huge numbers of people living on the street who have no home. And it's ironic that these village people, if you go to their village, or even more ironic, in India, all the movies that you see from Bollywood, what are they glorifying? All the movies in India, pretty much, they're all filmed in Switzerland. Right? And they glorify village life. And people are watching that, who are sitting in the cities and thinking, oh, village life is so nice. But you go to the village. When I was first going to the villages in Orissa 25 years ago, nobody wanted to be in the village. They all wanted to go to Delhi or Mumbai. And today, if you go there, they all want to go to New York or maybe San Francisco. They're becoming more and more so-called advanced. So poverty hasn't decreased. Poverty has increased. And the ironic thing is, if you go to the villages, it's so peaceful and so nice. And the people there, they know how to be self-sufficient. They know how to make their own house. They know how to grow vegetables and grains. They know how to take care of the animals. But their children and their grandchildren have no clue because of their modern education. They know how to use a cell phone, and that's all. And so what's happening really in the world is, although we're proud that we've driven out slavery, actually, the world has created more and more slavery all over. And now people become slaves to a little plastic card. They call it a credit card. And everybody all over the world is in debt. And everybody should come to the cities for a good life. And you work very hard. As one person said, you drive in your car every day to work so that you can have some money to pay for the house that you never live in, and the car that you drive to the job, and the clothes that you have for work. That's life. But it's not so bad. We have television. And we have different types of intoxicants in the world today. And people are becoming intoxicated. They're becoming fooled by television and things, and they're just becoming slaves of big corporations. And so modern media is following this today. So many of the modern, it's another topic we don't want to speak about in Srimad Bhagavatam class, but so much of modern media in India today is owned and controlled by either Christians or Westerners. It's not owned anymore by Indians. And there's so much propaganda going on that we should kill the cow, that is better economically, that this type of attitude is backward. But this is just the opposite of Vedic culture. In Vedic culture, people understood that the cow is a basis of the whole economy. The cow gives everything for people. The cow and the bull can plow the field. The bull plows the field about 4 inches deep. If you take a tractor, it plows about 6 or 8 inches deep. And the tractor packs the land hard. And that's why in the Midwest in America, everything's becoming, they call it the dust bowl, because all the land has become completely packed. The cows plow it in a very nice, natural way. And they fertilize the ground with their dung and their urine at the same time. Cows are so usable. Srila Prabhupada even told, he said that if someone wants to eat the cow, no problem. We say just wait until the cow has died. The same number of cows are going to die. You just wait until the cow dies. You're so attached to eating its flesh. You wait until after it's died in a natural way and then take it. But everything about the cow is useful. And here in this verse in purport, we're hearing about how this Abhishek of Lakshmi Devi was dependent on this Panchagavya. And Srila Prabhupada notes also in the purport that so many diseases are there because people are killing the cows. In another purport in the 10th canto, Srila Prabhupada says, simply by giving protection to the cow, the villagers live so peacefully, and even the urine and stool of cows have medicinal value. We can't hardly conceive of this in the West. But it's a big, big problem today all over the world. The medical industry. People from America want to come to India because you can have a surgery or something here for a fraction of the cost what it costs in America. In America, just to walk in and have someone look at you and diagnose you may cost you 10,000 rupees or something, just to have them look at you. But traditionally in India, traditionally all over the world, people had their own medicines. And the cow is like a walking pharmacy. So many things are provided with a cow. It's described in the Charvak Sanhita. Yet vaddasti gatam papam dehi tishti mamke prashnat panchagavasya tahas ginivendram. That all the diseases in the body, according to Charvak Sanhita, according to Ayurvedic medicine, every disease in the body, from the skin to the bones, are cured by panchagavya. And especially cow urine is glorified in Ayurvedic medicine. Gavyam pavitam cha rasayanam cha patyam cha hridyam balam huri satayu pradam rakta vikar hari tridosha hridrog vishapaham syata. All the different nutrients that you'll find in cow urine, they provide a complete diet. You can just drink cow urine. It's cardioprotective. It protects your heart. It balances your vata, pitta, and kapha. It cures all types of disease. It provides physical and mental strength. It purifies the blood. It suppresses aging. It provides long life. It also has antibiotic, anti-inflammatory, and antitoxic properties. A cow is a walking pharmacy. But when we take away the cow and we want to have some modern system where we kill the cow, then all of a sudden we have to have so many artificial means of different medicines, and people, the industries inflate the price of those things hundreds and hundreds of times so they can make money because they know that people have to come, they have to take that. So this is Vedic culture. This is India's traditional culture. Goraksha, to protect the cow. I've heard from older people in India that previously, even in the suburbs of Delhi, all over India, 50 years ago or 100 years ago, every street had a trough, two troughs, like we have in front of our MVT, one for water and one for vegetable scraps. And all the pious people in the street there, they when they're making their sabjis and whatever, the scraps that they have left, they put there for the cows. And it gives such a good feeling to the heart. You're serving the cows in so many ways. And the cows, they give great benediction in this way. But today, no one has time for that. You don't find this thing. If you want to do some nice go-seva, it's a very simple thing. Just put two troughs on the street wherever you live and put some water there. Encourage your neighbors to put some vegetables and different things. We should protect the cows. In the Patala Kanda of the Padma Purana, there's an interesting story that describes something very shocking that says that Janak Maharaj, the father of Sita, when he left his body, he had to go to hell. Not exactly to hell, but he was on the outskirts there. And at that time, Dharmaraj, Yamaraj, came before him. And Janak Maharaj, who is the crest jewel of Vedic culture, of Dharma, he asked Yamaraj, why did I have to come here? What did I do? And Yamaraj told him, Ekada tucharam timgam varyam asavai bhavan tena pappa vipakena Niraya Dwara Darshanam. The reason you have this Dwara Darshan, you have to stand here by the gates of hell, is because one time, Ekada, one time you stopped a cow, it was grazing, and you stopped it from eating grass. And because of that thing, you had to come here to see hell. So pious are the cows. So important are the cows in Vedic culture. We may sometimes ask, what is the value of taking cows? What is the role of cow protection for Gaudiya Vaishnavas? There's a difference if you study the way the Hindus take care of cows and the way the Gaudiya Vaishnavas take care of cows. In 1972, in October, here in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada, in one lecture, he said a very simple thing, but a very deep thing. He said that there are two considerations, Smarta Vichar and Goswami Vichar. The consideration of the Smarta Brahmins, which are generally, we could say, the Hindus, and the consideration of the six Goswamis, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the Smartas, they protect the cows because it's very sinful, they say, to kill the cow because the cow is a mother, because the cow is going to give you some punya labha, and if you take care of the cow, maybe you can get liberation, you can get all types of wealth and things. We know that there are 30 million different demigods positioned on the body of the cow. Lakshmi Devi came a little bit late. There was no place left for her. So they gave her the place of the dung, the gobar of the cow. And we think an animal stool is a very nasty thing. But today they're finding an interesting thing that vegetarians, they need vitamin B, and that vitamin B is a difficult thing to assimilate in the body. But they found one way that vitamin B is easily assimilated in the body: if you touch with your hands gobar, cow dung, it assimilates through the skin. It's a natural thing. And if you put that gobar in the earth and you touch the earth, your body also becomes much, much more grounded. Dhanadhar Maharaj told me a story. Many years ago, there was one devotee who came to India for a yatra, the first time he'd ever left the big city of New York. And he came to India, and wherever he was going, he was amazed. He said, "Those are trees." Because he'd just been walking on concrete his entire life. He'd never seen grass, he'd never seen trees. And today, sadly, India, if you see what Vrindavan was like in the early 70s, when devotees first started coming, the Western devotees here, if you see the old photos, at this place, I spoke with one sadhu who came here first about 70 years ago to Ramanreti, and he said there was nothing here. It was a kind of dangerous place. It was so remote, and there was just a deep forest and different sadhus staying here. But today, in the name of modernization, is one famous song describes in America, they paved paradise, they put pavement down, they paved paradise and they put up a parking lot. And this is what's going on in Vrindavan today, right? They're paving paradise and they're putting up so many parking lots, and you can't even drive into Vrindavan because the mafia gundas know you have to park here and give us some paisa, otherwise you can't come to God's land. This is going on. So badly we need to preach to people. We need people to understand Krishna consciousness in a deep way, not just by Smarta Vichar, by some external consideration, but we need this Goswami Vichar. And why is it we put so much stress on cow seva? Because Krishna loves the cows. And by serving the cows, Krishna becomes pleased. And this is repeated again and again through our Gaudiya literature. I'll give you a few examples. Rupa Goswami in his Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika is described, Mangala Pingala Ganga Pisangi Manikastani Hamsi Vamsi Priyat Adya Naichikastashya Supriya. These are the names of Krishna's most dear cows. Krishna doesn't just have cows, but he gives them names. I remember reading an excerpt, very demoniac excerpt from a book in America about how to raise cows. And they recommended to the people who take care of cows in America that you don't give your cows names. Because if you give it a name, then later on when you go to kill the cow, then it becomes hard to do. You may become attached to it. But our culture is completely opposite. Mangala, Pingala, Ganga, Pishangi, Manikasani, Hungsi, Vangsi, Priya are the names of these different Sarabi cows who are very, very dear to Krishna. Padmaganda, Pishangaksho, Bali, Vardhav, Ati Priyo. Padmaganda and Pishangaksha are Krishna's dear pet oxen. Krishna loves the cows so much. Why is it we place so much stress on the cows? Let's look a little bit to Jiva Goswami. In Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami speaks about Krishna's leaving Vrindavan and going to Mathura. And Krishna killed Kuvalyapida, he killed the wrestlers, he killed Kamsa. And then when everything was finished, Krishna remembered his promise. Krishna, when he was leaving Braj, he said, I'm going to return. I'm returning very soon. So Krishna and Balaram, they went to an assembly of the members of the Yadu dynasty, and with folded hands, they said, we have some request of you. And everyone said, what is your request? Krishna and Balaram said, you please allow us to return to Vrindavan. We want to go back to Vrindavan. And everyone became quiet. And then Vikadru, who's an elder member of the Yadu dynasty, with great agitation, he told Krishna that previously we had one demoniac person harassing us, and that was Kamsa. But because of his strength, we weren't worried about any of the other demoniac kings, because they wouldn't dare to come to Mathura. But now you've killed Kamsa. And Sishupal and Dantavakra and Salva and so many other demons now, they're going to want to come. So you should stay here. Moreover, there was once broadcast here in Mathura a prophetic statement at the time of Vasudev and Devaki's marriage that the eighth child would kill Kamsa and protect us. And they told Krishna that actually, you're not the son of Nanda Maharaj. You're the son of Vasudev. You should stay here. You should protect us. You can't go. When Krishna and Balaram heard these words of the members of the Yadu dynasty, and we're speaking this to answer a question, which I should have placed ahead of time. The question is, why didn't Krishna return to Vrindavan? He said, Ayasya, I'm going to return. But it seems that he broke his promise. Why didn't he return with Nanda Maharaj? Is there something wrong with the love of the Brijbasis? Is the love in Mathura so much more attractive? We can't accept that. Why didn't Krishna return to Vrindavan? So when Krishna, he heard these words from the senior members of the Yadu dynasty there in Mathura, Krishna became silent. And without saying anything, along with Balaram, he left that assembly and he went to visit Vasudev and Devaki. And he came before them with folded hands and he said, please, we have a request. And Vasudev asked him, what is your request? Krishna said, yad brajalokam, vilokam vilokam ayachava. We want to return to Vrindavan. That Vrindavan, which is now without light and without people. When Vasudeva and Devaki heard the words of Krishna, they became quiet. When they, at that time, they remembered the words of Ugrasena, at the time of Ugrasena when he was made king, which is described in Harivamsa Purana. The words of Krishna. Aham sa eva go madhya. Krishna says, Aham sa eva go madhya. I always stay among the cows. It's described in Hari Bhakti Vilas. There are different very auspicious places to chant japa. One is a temple, another place is a bank of a sacred river, and another is the Goshala. Is such a powerful thing just to chant near the cows. Because aham sa eva go madhya. Krishna is present there. The cows are present. So Vasudev and Devaki, they were quiet for a long time, and then they told Krishna, "Now you're going to reject us? After so long we finally got you, and now we're going to lose you, we're going to lose our life heirs?" Krishna and Balaram became even more disturbed. And so they went to a private place to discuss just amongst this between the two of them. And they said, "This is very bad. How can we refuse the instruction of our parents? But how can we not return to Braj?" Lord Ramachandra, he respected his parents, and on the order of his father, he gave up the kingdom, he went to the forest. What should we do? So they went then, they decided we should go to Bapa. Who's Bapa? Bapa is Nanda Maharaj. They went to Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna and Balaram told them that we have this problem now. They're telling us we can't return with you. What should we do? Nanda Maharaj told them, "Yatra syat asurad biti satatra viraha jvarat bhavadvayam bhavatyeti akulam sutaman mana." Oh, my dear son, fear arises in Mathura because of the demons, these different demoniac kings, they're afraid of them. And fear arises in Braj because of possible separation from you. These two fears exist, and my mind is troubled. I don't know what to say. And Krishna told him, he said, "Bapa, they say you're not my father, but I'm actually the son of Vasudev and Devaki." And Nanda Maharaj was quiet for a moment, a tear came down his cheek. And with emotion, Nanda Maharaj said, "Do you believe that?" And then Krishna began to cry, and he embraced Nanda Maharaj. He said, "No, Bapa, you're my father. You're always my father. Well, what should we do?" And Nanda Maharaj, his heart is so soft, and he loves also the residents of Mathura. He said, "We should help them. Narad Muni and Garga Muni, they gave some advice about this, and because of their advice, I didn't prevent you from coming here to Mathura." Nanda Maharaj paused for a moment then. He said, "In the Ramayana, it said that Dasharath, he gave his son away at a young age to kill the Rakshasas, to protect the sages. And finally he died in separation from his son." And then Nanda Maharaj began to cry again, and he embraced Krishna. And in a choked voice, Krishna told him, "Bapa, don't have any doubt. I'll kill all these rascals and I'll return." He said, "You should know that the Brijbasis, they're my real relatives. The Yadus, they're my friends." And there's a difference between relatives and friends. Sometimes you stay with your friends, but you always live with your relatives. And then Nanda Maharaj, he said, "Krishna, then I'll stay here in Mathura. I won't return." And then Krishna said, "Bapa, you can't. If I stay here, if I don't return, and you also don't return, what will happen to Mata? What will happen to Mother?" And Nanda Maharaj said, "Then I'll bring her here also." And Krishna said, "Then Father, then all of Braj will become destroyed if Krishna's not there. And Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda leave. Everyone will just want to die." Nanda Maharaj said, "Then I'll bring all of Braj here. And Mathura will become Braj." Right? It's a good answer, isn't it? What was Krishna's response? "Sampratyamasmakam bahula pratyaham samkyadadikaya pratyata shushtu bahula jataha tasam upanagaravanam kim upajivanam syat gavas chasmakam kula devya itita eva sevyagatam arhanti yadiva madartam sarvam bhavatam mam vinatu byartam iti samartyaniyam Tahicha mat prana eva ta ittita eva prani nanaya. Krishna said, Father, he said that our cows, sankhyadi kaya prati, you can't even count how many cows we have. There's not enough parks in Mathura. If we bring all the cows here to Mathura, where are they going to get grass? How many parks are there in Mathura? If you bring all the cows from Vrindavan to Delhi, where are they going to eat? There's no place for them. He said, so Father, since the cows are my life, they have to be maintained. And moreover, he said, if I return to Braj and all these demoniac kings hear about this, then they'll want to attack Vrindavan. Now you may say, no problem. You may recall that Jiva Goswami says in Gopal Champu also, that when Sishupal attacked Mathura, Krishna and Balaram came out of the city by themselves. And there were millions and millions of warriors in Sishupal's army. And Sishupal started laughing when they came out, because Balaram had no weapons. He was carrying a plow on his shoulder. And Sishupal said, look, it's a farm boy. He's a farmer. He's going to come and fight with all these Kshatriyas with a plow. Isn't that cute? And he started to laugh. But he'd hardly finished his laugh, and in just half a second, suddenly all his warriors were dead by Krishna and Balaram. Don't underestimate that plow of Balaram. So Krishna could have easily killed all of them. But what would happen to Braj if that happened? So many armies would come and trample on the grass and disturb things here. But in a deeper sense, things would become disturbed in Braj, because Krishna would have to show his Aishvarya, his opulence, which has no place in Vrindavan. This is not the place to kill hundreds of millions of warriors. This is a place for dancing with the gopis. Krishna told his father, Sankhyam ati charantinam vani charantinam gavam avaranam tu sutram eva duskaram. And it's not possible to build a fort to protect all of our cows. We have unlimited numbers of cows. This is a very interesting subject. Sometimes devotees become a little confused. We read in Krishna book in chapter 90, Srila Prabhupada says, it is said that King Ugrasena alone had 10 quadrillion soldiers as personal bodyguards. Think about that. 10 quadrillion. The population of the planet today is a little over 7 billion people. And Ugrasena Maharaj had over 10 quadrillion. That's over 100,000 more persons just as bodyguards. And that's not the teachers and the Brahmins and the other personalities. There's one conversation some doubtful devotees had with Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles. They came and said, Prabhupada, how is it possible? Where did they keep all the toilets? Just 10 quadrillion bodyguards. And what about it? This is some mythology. How can we say like this? And people think like that. But the bodyguards are nothing. You read in Srimad Bhagavatam about the cows of Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami in Loga Vaishnav Toshini, he describes, I won't read the Sanskrit, we're a little late, but he describes that the boys and calves of Vrindavan together couldn't be counted. And the number of calves that they herded into the forest was beyond calculation. So they went to speak how many more calves had been left back in Braj, and the older cows, so many, many cows are there. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that the number of Krishna's cows exceeded 1, followed by 17 zeros. That's hundreds of times greater than the number of bodyguards that Ugrasena Maharaj had. So how is that possible? And this is what Krishna told Nanda Maharaj. You can't bring everyone from Braj to Mathura, because every day we have a few 100 million cows taking birth every day. And what to speak of the older cows, there's so many, many more of them. How do we understand this? Just as a side note, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives some explanation in his commentary on 10.12.3. Again, I won't read the Sanskrit. He said that one shouldn't become confused and think that there's so many cows and how can they possibly fit in this 32 square mile area of Vrindavan, because the nature of the Dham is that it's unlimited. He says that a small portion of the Dham, every speck of dust in Vrindavan has the ability to accommodate billions of universes. Every speck of dust in Vrindavan can accommodate billions and billions of universes. So no problem. What's a few hundred quadrillion cows? They can very easily fit within the area of Vrindavan. So cow protection is such a very, very important thing. I'd like to turn just for a moment to Raghunath Das Goswami's Shri Govardhan Basa Pratana Dasakam. We were just speaking about this a few days ago at Govardhan. But he said such a nice thing in this regard, I'd like to repeat. In text 7, he describes that Drohato Goshta Raksham Tava Navayuno Griha Rupashantare. That he says, O Giriraj, you, Krishna, used you to protect all the residents of Vrindavan, all the cows of Vrindavan. I'll pass a couple of these around, maybe. These are a magazine we just finished making recently. And you can see something interesting. Pass that around. Please give these back to me afterwards. You can see on the cover of the magazine a very nice picture how Giriraj protects all the residents in Vrindavan. And on the bottom of the picture, this painting which is made in the 1700s in Rajasthan, you see a number of cows because Giriraj really protects the cows. Because Goshta Raksham means especially protecting the cows. And you see underneath there, there's one cow who's giving milk to its calf. There's another cow that's being milked by a cowherd boy. They're completely oblivious to the Samvartic clouds, the terrible storms that Indra has sent. Because Drohato Goshta Raksham, this is Giriraj's nature. He protects from envy, from envious persons like Indra. And not only do you see that on the cover of the magazine, on the left side, in the bottom, there's a cow. You can't see very well. What is she doing? That cow is giving birth to a calf. Giriraj protects all the cows of Vrindavan. This is his nature. And this is why Raghunath Das Goswami, he says that Duttamana, that Krishna wanted to give Giriraj Govardhan all the credit for just defeating Indra. Even though he says that Agha Bakka Rupanochaya, the killer of Agha and Bakka, he gave this credit to Giriraj. And in the commentary accredited to Baladeva Vidyabhushan, he raises a question, why didn't Krishna solve the problem by himself? What was the necessity of him taking shelter of Giriraj Govardhan? The necessity is there because Krishna has this nature of Duttamana. Duttamana means he wants to give credit to his devotee. Already, Krishna had defeated Agha and Bakka. He killed these demons which were more powerful than Indra. Krishna could have very easily stopped Indra. But he didn't do that because he wanted to give credit to Giriraj. And in the commentary, it said that a question arises, why does he want to give credit especially to Giriraj? There's so many devotees in Vrindavan. Sudama, Madhu Mangal could have very easily solved the problem one way or another. Why did he take shelter of Giriraj especially? Because Giriraj is Haridasa Varya. He's the best of devotees of Lord Hari. Why is he the best of devotees of Lord Hari? Because Krishna is Bhakta Bhaktiman. He's a devotee of his devotees. And because Giriraj Govardhan, he's Govardhana. He nourishes the cows. And he's Drohato Goshta Raksham. He protects all the residents of Vrindavan. And especially the cows. And the cows are so very dear to Krishna. And so because Giriraj is serving the cows, therefore he's Haridasa Varya. He's the greatest devotee because he serves the devotees in such a wonderful, wonderful way. We hear in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Padmavati, the little senile, crazy mother of Kangsa, was criticizing the Brijbasis. And she said, those Brijbasis, they treated Krishna so badly. You know, they wouldn't give him any shoes to wear. There's so many thorns. They didn't give him an umbrella in the hot sun. And they made him work very hard. They didn't even give him enough proper food to eat. He was so hungry. He had to steal butter. And then when he stole butter because he's so hungry, then they tied him up with ropes. The Brijbasis are very, very bad. She was speaking like this. Why is it that Krishna doesn't use an umbrella and doesn't use shoes? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes in the 5th chapter of Govinda Lilamrita. Krishna saw that Yashoda and Nanda were very, very insistent. You should take some umbrella. Take some shoes. They couldn't tolerate. And Krishna replied to them, Gopalanam sudharmo nas tastu nischatta padukaha yata gavas tata gopas tarhi dharma sunirmala. He said, Mata, the cows, there are deities. The cows don't wear shoes. The cows don't have umbrellas. If you want me to wear shoes and take an umbrella, I'll do that. But first you have to give shoes to all the cows in Vrindavan. How can I go with shoes when all the cows have no shoes? Krishna loves the cows so very, very much. And it's for this reason that cow protection is especially so important for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Because it's bhakti anukul. It's something which is very, very good for our bhakti. We don't do it according to the smarta vichara, like the Hindus protect the cows. But we protect the cows because Krishna loves the cows. And because Krishna will give us blessings if we take care of the cows. Srila Prabhupada, I know we're a few minutes over, I just want to finish with one little message. Srila Prabhupada had a very deep vision for ISKCON, a vision which is not always understood, a vision which is debated upon by devotees to this day. And some devotees say that Prabhupada wanted Vanashram Dharma. It means we should all follow Manasanghita and Dharma Shastras and establish Vanashram like that. And other devotees said, no, Prabhupada wanted us to preach and distribute books all over. It's a little difficult to reconcile sometimes the two different instructions. But if you think about Srila Prabhupada's comments about Vanashram Dharma, I would suggest that they were very, very simple. Just like Srila Prabhupada's instructions initially about deity worship. Prabhupada had the deity devotees install Jagannath Balaji Subhadra in San Francisco with no abhishek, no mantras, no fire sacrifice. They didn't even dress the deities. There was no garlands. They waved a candle and they chanted Hare Krishna. It was so very, very simple. Srila Prabhupada kept things very, very simple for the devotees. And my humble thought, why did Srila Prabhupada stress so much on self-sufficiency? Not because we should all be agrarian and that's the goal of life, but bhakti is the goal of life. Krishna prema is the goal of life. And Srila Prabhupada saw that to live in the big cities, like most of the devotees in our society do, is very, very difficult. The European Union has a certain limit to pesticides. To give you one example, how much pesticides can be used in fruits and vegetables in Europe. The average fruits and vegetables in India exceed the European Union by over 400 times. And we offer to the deity. And we eat these things, and it does so many terrible things to our bodies because we're dependent upon that. But Srila Prabhupada wanted the devotees to be independent. And that independence is really based on cow protection. And we've seen, we go to Hungary sometimes, and Sivaram Maharaj made a law, a rule some years ago, which initially I have to confess I found very disturbing. Because for something like a year, the deities in Budapest had no milk products. And they were offering sweet rice made out of almond milk. And different vegan things. And I felt very disturbed by this. Because Maharaj told the devotees that unless you can have protected milk, milk from protected cows, there's no milk for the temple at all. It took them, I don't know, 6 months or a year. But the devotees had some inspiration. They got it together. And today, the Budapest temple, they have so many milk sweets and different things coming from the cows in New Brajadam. So it's an instruction Srila Prabhupada gave. He wanted to have farms with protected cows, which would give milk products for the deities. But sometimes in our society now, we become so absorbed in other things in the cities, we don't think about that. But this is an instruction of Srila Prabhupada. And my humble request to the devotees, we should think about that. We should think about Srila Prabhupada's request and how can I help it? Maybe I'm a city boy and I can't live in the country. I don't know how to take care of cows. But then we can give some extra money because it costs more money to have protected milk. We can give something extra for that and that way do some go seva. We can, so many things we can do. If you live in India, you can buy a couple troughs and put them on your street for the cows and encourage your friends and neighbors to serve the cows. And we do all these things because this is good for our bhakti. So we'll stop here. Thank you all very much. Do we have time for any questions? No. Okay, one? Okay, I have permission from the authorities that be. We have time. If anybody has a question or comment, Marsh, would you like to add anything? Anybody have any questions or anything? Comments from anyone? Okay. Ishwar Prabhu? Can someone give him a mic? Just 1 second.
So, there is one person who was, because in India, the political parties, there was fighting with one another. So, this fellow, his car was black twins. So, he called them BDP and Congress. He named them BDP and Congress.
He named the cow BB Congress?
He named the cows, one of them, because the cow had twins, so one of them he named BJP.
BJP. Get two cows, you need one BJP and one Congress, okay. Hare Krishna. People have so many ideas. So I want to thank everybody very much, and Dharmatma Prabhu and the senior devotees for giving us a chance to have a little Krishna Katha in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada ki, yeah. Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki, yeah. Gopremanande.